what you wanted us to be. We are what we are. That's the way it's going to be.
Well, greetings to you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful, beautiful, lovely nation of Italy. Yes, alas, I am in another place, another location. Just going wherever it is that God's got me to go for whatever reason, whatever purpose. And alas, I enjoy sharing bits and pieces of the journey along the way, as God would allow me to. Yeah, you know, it's been a full last few weeks. I know there's some of you that have been wondering kind of where I've been and what's been going on and all of that. But, you know, look, it's really important that that you don't look to a person, but that you always look to God for whatever it is that is pressing in on your soul. And I know that there's places that that many of you go that you know, you can get, you feel like you can get fed when you need it, that you can get a word, or it just strengthens you spiritually. Yeah, you know, we have those, but at the same time, don't let those become crutches to you. Don't let those become things that you look to, because it's a very subtle thing and it's a subtle deception of the enemy for a person to start looking to man and not to God. And see, for example, say with Faith Mix, you don't have to have an interaction with me as such. You don't have to have an email with me or a phone call from me. Because look, there's several people that are part of this team that make this whole thing go and whole thing work. All of them have the Spirit of God. All of us have the Spirit of God. So whoever it is that would write or respond shouldn't make a difference. If it is the case that, you know, somebody's looking to connect personally with me, for example, well, why? Are you looking to me as a person, or are you actually looking to God? See, it's a dangerous thing because, you know, if it's very, very easy, I want you to understand this, it's very easy when a person starts looking to man and not to God, for that person that's in that place to take advantage, to merchandise, to use. And this happens over and over and over and again, particularly in religious circles, but across the board, political, business, whatnot, whatever it may be. When people look to a person to be in the role that only God can be and that only God should be, there's only destruction that's possible from that. That it destroys you, and it will destroy that person as well. And you know, many times, you know, God even removes those servants of His if they start becoming a hindrance like that. The only person God will have, no other gods before Him. The only person that you should ever be looking to is Him. Now, along the way, there are people that God will send to encourage you, to strengthen you, to for a window of time. Some stay in your life, some move on, some are there for a moment. But in that process, they are just fulfilling a role and discharging the ministry that God has given them. But they do that out of obedience to Him, not because they have a political or a man-made agenda. And see, that's why, too, for me, I have no issue if God shuts me down for a month, 2 months, 3 months, a year. Now, in the natural, or maybe I'd never talk again on this thing. In the natural, that would be, if this was a natural thing, if we were just trying to build a ministry as such, that would be really dumb, because, you know, we would, in the natural, you know, people would stop checking in, they'd stop using this, and they'd stop doing that. And but no, we're not, look, we're not building a following here. We're not trying to build a group of people or anything like that. No, you know, what we do here is God's given us, a few of us that God's brought together around this. Years ago, God brought us together around this. And we have certain skill sets and certain gifts that God's given, and we together put those together out of obedience, do what God's given us to do, and leave it at that. We don't look at the results. We don't look at the impacts. We don't try to make something work or to grow something or anything like that. No, we just take it each day, each step, whatever it is that He has for us, that's it. And we leave it at that. Now, Lord willing, if you get something out of this, that's really between Him and you, between your spirit and His. And may this be an encouragement to you. May this be a blessing to you along the way. That being the case, we're not trying to build a following, nor are we trying to get people to look to us for anything, really. But the irony about this is, though we don't want, though we're not trying to do that, there's a ton of people that check in here. It's a surprise, actually, when we actually find out. I venture to say that Faith Mix is much larger than most of the churches in the world. Now, I say that out of complete, just, it's, if there's, now, it comes and goes, though, too. Because, you know, if we drop off the air for a while, then the fair weather fans and the people that, you know, just kind of come around and grab what they can and use what they can, hey, great, fine, use it. Pleasure. Go ahead. But, you know, the people that kind of are tracking with us in this for a longer, it's really not that many, you know? And that being the case, you know, we're fine with that. Now, all this said, you know, there's just recently, I think, a little bit of house cleaning we got to do here, too. There was somebody that kind of has stepped over a little bit of a line here and tried to dig into my life a little bit more than necessary by tracking down phone numbers of family members and things that, you know, were not allowed or requested or approved of. Now, as a result of something like that, you know, that falls into a certain category of space that's necessary, because, you know, we need a certain degree of space too in what we do, and we take that space, we on purpose, because, look, each of us needs to fulfill what it is that God's told us to do. You do that part, and then you keep moving. You know, I used to, this is kind of some of my old thinking, even my church thinking, and back in the day, make myself available for, you know, every hard luck case out there and all these people with all their different things and their dramas. No, not anymore. Basically, for myself, one thing that I've realized is, you know what, I can choose. I can choose I can choose that which is a healthy balance for myself when it comes to life. You know, everybody can do that. You can make a decision. This is good for you. This is not good for you. These people are healthy for you. These people are not healthy for you. And you have the God-given right to allow some people closer and to push some people away. You know, the book of Proverbs gives a ton of wisdom, you know, about life and about structuring a good life and a healthy life while you're here. And in fact, to violate the principles that are laid out there is to do harm and damage to your own life and your own soul. So, you know, for me, and for my friends and for my brothers, you know, we've learned along the way. We've learned from, you know, other brothers and sisters that have gone before in the ministries that they've done. For those that have been bludgeoned and been used and been abused by so many others, we've also learned a few things along the way that they've shared with us for ways that we can structure what it is that we do to allow us the maximum possibility that we can fulfill that which God's called us to do with minimum hindrance. So, you know, you're allowed that. So, all that to say, yeah, sure, email us, faithmix@gmail.com. Sure. And, you know, it's a good chance that somebody will, you know, get back to you from the team. But, you know, focus on Christ. Focus on your walk and your relationship with Him. Focus on being in oneness with the Spirit of God and doing that which He's called you to do. See things through the eyes of Christ. See this world and the things around you and the people around you through His eyes, through His focus, through His way. You know, I sometimes what happens too for me is I do get, you know, actually Brother Thomas put up a good post about this recently. I do recommend checking his site every now and then. I think it's brothomasblog.blogspot.com. But yeah, just you know, he talked about seeing the people through the eyes of Christ as a means of being able to shift the way that you are in a situation, especially when you're getting pulled into a carnal and base reality. If you can see people the way that God sees them, for example, somebody attacks you, somebody comes after you, if you see them through your carnal eyes, you'll see them as, you know, you see them as your enemy, you'll see them as somebody that you need to respond in a certain way to, and all of that. But the second that you see them through the eyes of Christ, you realize that they're a bound slave to the world system, that they are miserable, and that they are actually in need of being set free. And all of a sudden, when you see them through Christ's eyes, you have compassion. Because you realize their spiritual state, which is what they really are from an eternal vantage point. And, you know, it happens with so many different things. When you can see things through the eyes of Christ, it changes the way that then you respond. Now, you've got to make a willful choice to put that filter on your eyes, to put that filter on the way that you see situations and different things and different people. But you can approach a lot of stuff that way. And, you know, too, in the middle of this, use wisdom in dealing with your human interactions. Use wisdom in how you respond to people. You know, I'm encouraged, you know, in the middle of all that's going on in the world right now, because God's purposes are also being manifest. You know, I think sometimes people feel like everything is about to fall apart and it's all going to go this way and that way. And, you know, wherever things really are, it's fine. Because in the end, as long as you are in track and in step with God and you're where He wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do at the time that He wants you to be doing it, in oneness with the Spirit of God, you're in a very good place. And, you know, something that I mentioned recently too, you know, when we caught up with our friends in the States on the broadcast there, was numbering your days and keeping a good and healthy perspective about the time that you actually have here in this life. You know, not that we allow that to pull us out of being here now and being in an eternal place and an eternal step, but at the same time realize that this whole thing is actually very short. This whole life experience as such is not long. In the Psalms, when I think it's the one Moses wrote in Psalm 90, but where he said, you know, the length of a man's days is 70 years. That's 70 years. You know, 80 if he has the strength. So maybe 80 if you got a little bit more strength. By and large, people, you know, don't live that long. And we're moving into a time where a lot of people will die early. And a lot of people will, you know, it's just the nature of the time that we're moving into. That being the case, you know, and David talked about numbering a man, God teaching them to number their days. Realize that it's very short, your time here. And don't allow your experience here to be trapped with what the way that the world thinks. See, this is what part of the insanity is of the world system. Though everybody knows that there's a point unto every man is a time to die and the judgment. Though they know this, they know they're going to die because there's nobody around that was here 200 years ago. So, you know, where are the Carnegies and the Rockefellers and the Napoleons and the Hitlers and the anybody, the Mother Teresa's, they're all gone. They're gone. They were here and now they're not. And likewise, in this dimension, in this paradigm, you and I are here right now. And in a window of time, we will not be. Now, the insanity of the world system is that those that have given themselves over to it, they live and they plan like they're staying here. And the lives that they live is such that, and that's why they're so darn afraid when death comes knocking at their door, if they even have a chance to see it. Because they realize at that stage that they're not ready. And they're not prepared to go from this life into the next. And the next is coming, absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody gets away. And so either you have prepared your soul and prepared yourself and are in alignment with Christ and are facing the Creator and all obstacles removed because His blood has paid the price for you. His the sacrifice that He's made has been applied to your life. And now you are His and in oneness with His Spirit and a representative in the earth of Christ Jesus. And He knows you. And you know Him because you're fused together with Him, in oneness with Him. You've been consummated with the Spirit of God. Either you're there, or moving towards that because God's brought you on that path, or you're going the other way, which is the way that the world goes, which turns their back on Him and faces their own destruction. Faces, because ultimately, the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, Satan, the kingdom of the devil, that's Antichrist. That goes in the opposite direction. And if you read the word, you know that that kingdom is slotted for eternal destruction, is it's already been earmarked, it's already done. They are a weaker force in this whole thing. They are completely owned. Ultimately, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God owns the whole thing. And so when that purpose has been fulfilled that it exists for right now, God's going to throw that whole thing away. Now, those that face that way in the spirit, those that have given themselves over to that in the spirit, they face their own destruction. They are being fused and being brought into union with that which has been earmarked to be destroyed. How dumb is that? How dumb is that? I mean, seriously. You know, and the irony is that it happens not just when they pass from this life into the next, but you get to see the first fruits of that even on this side. So, you know, they bite and devour each other, they destroy themselves, they destroy their own lives, their children are a mess, everything about them, their whole lives are built on a shaky foundation. The first sign of trouble that comes in, their entire reality crumbles and falls, because they're not built on anything solid. And so really their life is a mixture of seeking wealth, because they think that by having that they have security and that they have power, because they think they can buy what they need, which you can't. There's plenty of things you can't. Then there is, you know, they seek pleasure, obviously, because that's, you know, any sort of stimulation, if you would, or luxury or whatever, whatnot, is a way that they feel something. That gives them some tickling of the fact that maybe there's something left that might be alive in them, because otherwise they're just dead and cut off and gone. And the what's crazy about that too is that they need more and more to get a similar fix, because just like a drug addict, what got them off yesterday won't get them off today. They need more heroin. They need more. Just more of a base reality to just get that same fix that they got last time. So worlders are junkies. They just have different drugs of choice, but they're all they show similar symptoms of addiction to a very unhealthy set of stimuli. And in that process too, they also need their network. They can't exist without being connected into the hive. They can't exist without being connected to each other, because they feed off of each other and that system. And so the higher up that they are in that hierarchy of the world system, and the connections that they have, and the people that they can get to do favors for them, and that do, you know, like that, and help them survive. So when things start, when the boat starts sinking, they can jump on the backs of others up into the level of their hierarchy, and hopefully stay on the shoulders of those that are below them to keep their heads above water. Now, something for everybody to know, the Titanic went under completely. So the whole thing went down, and it didn't matter how high up you were in that food chain. If you were on that boat, you were sunk. So that being the case, the kingdom of God, now God's people are fine. We've already crossed over from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God, as Paul talked about in Acts 26 when he talked about his experience where God pulled him out by a strong hand. And God pulls his people out by a strong hand for those that would walk with him, those that would serve him. He removes them from that world system, sets them free, and sets them apart unto him. And the things that we do as far as structuring our lives according to the will of the Spirit, we do that so that we're able and better able to track with him, So it's not about a set of religious practices of do this and don't do that. No, you want a clear connection. You want a clear step. You desire in the heart of hearts is to be completely fused with His Spirit and no separation between you and Him. So therefore, when He shows you something and He says, okay, to you particularly, here's a course of action that I would have you to take that will enhance your life, that will be a blessing to you, that will help you to have the abundant life that I've intended that you would have. And when you do those things out of obedience, or you don't do certain things out of obedience because He tells you don't do this, you then reap the benefit of that. You then now have a stronger life, a better life, because you are following what God tells you. And this is custom built for each person. See, this is custom built for you, custom built for me. I don't have to do what anybody else does. The only thing I need to do is line my life up with what the Spirit of God shows me. He'll show it to me in His Word. He'll show it to me with other people that are walking with Him that will confirm what the Spirit of God is speaking to my spirit as I'm in alignment with Him. So they don't trump the Spirit of God. They just, God uses them to confirm that which He's already speaking. So it helps you where you are in your faith and in your walk. And but even if that confirmation wasn't there, you would still know His voice and still move with it because you trust Him. God will speak to His, those that are His. And you know, when you look back through the Word, how often the ones that really were God's people, did they go against the grain? Did they do what was unconventional, was not allowed for at the time? And though later on they were lauded as prophets and wise men and teachers and all of this, during their time, during their season, they just had to have that assurance in who they were in Christ to do that which He called them to do, because nobody else was supporting them in that. Or very, very few were supporting them in that. But they had the strength of the Spirit of God and the boldness of knowing in whom that they trusted and being persuaded that He was able to do abundantly beyond whatever it is that they thought, expected, that they knew the one they were walking with. And when you and I do that, that is where so much happens that God would desire to do through His people. But very few will actually step into that because they're afraid. They don't trust Him. They don't trust the way the Spirit of God will work with them. They need the approval and the validation of man. Yes, there is an element of, you know, of the counsel of godly people in your life. But you know, even for myself, there are a handful of people that I know that are godly counsel in my life. And their motives and their hearts are right. They have no vested interest in the outcome or the decisions that I take, other than they're just their desire to see me continue to track with God and my same desire for them. And we relate a certain way. We talk a certain way. We communicate a certain way. And frankly, at this stage in life and in my journey, I'm really not looking for more counselors as such. I'm really not looking for more free advice. Now, granted, I know God will bring other people into my life as time goes on. And some people may pass on or move on or however that may be. But look, be wary of the people that are very anxious to become part of your life. Be cautious of the people that try a little bit too hard to become a part of your life. Because, you know, you have a responsibility to safeguard that which God has put in you, and to nurture that, and to allow that to be brought to fruition, and to, you've been given a window of time in this world, and you're responsible for it. And in that process of being responsible for that, you need to make certain decisions. You need to set your will a certain way. And when you do that, that means saying yes to some things and no to others. It comes a point where unapologetically you need to make certain choices so that you can fulfill that which God's called you to do. And failure to do that is just putting yourself and your soul in a negative place. So for me, when people are a little bit too keen, that's usually a red light, a red flag for me. You know, honestly, there's a witness that we have in our spirit that I have. Look, it goes both ways. With a brother or sister in Christ. But even then, too, you know, test the people that try to come into your life. You don't have to be anxious to allow people to be there. Look, I'm not doing the seeker-sensitive thing here. I'm not opening up everything for, you know, everybody that come one, come all. No, not at all. There's a handful of good people that God has blessed me with over the years. And they have a certain place in my life. Even as Jesus, you know, Jesus picked the 12. Among the 12, he had 3. And even within the 3, you know, he had one that he confided with even a little bit more than the rest. Extending past the 12, there were the 72, but they weren't that close. And then there's the multitudes. Jesus chose that. Jesus made decisions about that. And, you know, and in that process too, you know, he also, knowing what was going to happen and come to pass in the days ahead, he also even chose Judas. Because God had a purpose in all of that as well. But Jesus made the choice of what would be there and what would not be there. What would be close and what would stay far. And you have that same right as a child of God. In Him you live and move and have your being. You have that same right to be able to choose that which is good for you and that which stays close and that which stays far away. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that being the case, you know, make that decision. Make the right decision for what will be close and what is going to be part of your life. So yes, alas, just a quick catch up out here. Hey, God bless you guys. Love you. And we'll catch up with you guys sometime soon. So keep us in prayer. And we'll talk to you later. All right. Bye.